Well, friends, here we are, season two of Aging with Energy, the Old Guys Travel Show. Welcome back. Humble and Fred, brought to you by the Chambers Plan and the Retirement Sherpa.
Could you tell where my head was at when you found me? Me and you went to hell.
Do you have any sense of how many episodes we did the first time around?
Well, how do you know I have no sense?
Okay. And we're off.
Senseless.
And we're off and running. Oh, man.
I don't know. I'd say, you know, a score. Wouldn't you say a score?
Okay, Abe Lincoln. Yes, a score. How many is a score? Like 20? 24?
Yes.
All right. Well,
no, a score is 20.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're back. It's season two, and we'll get right to it. Up first is the Fred man. He's your conductor for today's travel adventure.
You know, Howard, sometimes when we travel and we have a destination, we look at the destination. I'm talking airlines now, flights. You know, the destination in, same destination out. And sometimes things don't work. Well, you got to get creative. And then you think, okay, maybe I can fly in here and then maybe travel there and fly out of there, so to speak. Are you following what I'm saying?
Just let me, yes. Yeah, but just speak a little slower next time so I can. So where did you fly to? And so what was the gist of what you're talking about here?
Well, this was part of an Italy trip. Flew into Rome, did, you know, we've talked about it on the show on Aging with Energy already, you know, Florence and Tuscany and up through Lake Como and ended up in Venice. So we flew into Rome, but the flights were screwy, like getting out, taken up, expensive, whatever it was. So somebody threw out the idea, you know, there's a nice train ride from Venice to Munich. Maybe you could fly out of Munich, and bingo, it worked perfectly. So our Italy trip ends in Venice for a few days. Mm-hmm. And then we get on a train right in Venice, very accessible, and take the pretty much 6-hour train ride up to Munich.
You know, it's funny, when we were talking about this before we hit record, I had asked you, oh, Venice train. And then for a second, it just blanked on the fact that there's, of course, there's a part of Venice that's not on the water because I was there. And,
oh, yeah.
And I took the train, one of my favorite, you know, parts of my Venice trip to Venice and Florence was I took the train from Venice to Florence and back, and it's really cool. Was the train that you were on to Munich, was it the high speed one?
Yes, I believe so. Not super high speed, but, and it made some stops along the way.
Nice.
So I don't know if that qualifies it as high speed. All I know was, you know, 5 or 6 hours. And it was beautiful. And the idea is, you know, try to do it in daylight,
right?
Obviously. Because I'll tell you,
because you can see more during the day, right?
Well, this is it.
Because
unless you have a flashlight pointed out the window.
When it's darker, as the countryside goes by, you don't see as much.
But, you know, it's spectacular. So you're in the north part of Italy and then into Austria. You know, in the Alps, and then the beautiful lush green countryside, you know, with the, you know, the livestock on the side of hills and little villages along the way. And it's just, well, the word is spectacular. Mm-hmm. It really is. Like, you know, we talk about Western Canada. A lot of people that live in Central Canada, they have no appreciation of how beautiful their own country is because of, you know, the Rockies. Well, this is the feel you get out there as you go through the Alps. It's just spectacular. You know, and it's the summer and there's snow on the top of the mountains, and it's a sight to behold. It's a sight that all should see.
You know, I've done a little bit of that. Again, we've often talked about how sometimes folks at our age category don't want to arrange these things themselves. They want to do it through a tour or an operator of some kind. But I wanted to ask you about your experience, like booking trains and things like that, because my experience in these places is that those things aren't hard to do.
No.
You know, they seem intimidating at the time because it's, you know, in a foreign language. But honestly, I found it pretty easy, especially, you know, especially that area of Venice where, you know, the trains are all the inter is it continent? Like the inter-Europe train system in general, and I think you've commented, is very easy to navigate.
It really is. Their websites are easy to navigate and well explained, and
And in English as well as whatever foreign language they're speaking,
and reasonable.
Like,
you know,
cost-wise.
I'm not going to say cheap. I'm not going to say cheap, but reasonable. You know,
well, what did you open your cheeks for and spread your cheeks?
Know, off the top, I can't remember, but I think for Delise and I, the two of us, might have been €100 for that trip. Nothing crazy.
That's not bad.
No, not at all. I mean, but see, they're when it comes to public transportation, again, Europe is so far ahead of us here in North America, it's hard to relate. And part of the, you know, a key part of public transportation over there is make it affordable so people actually want to use it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But do you think about a 6-hour trip from Toronto to Montreal or wherever, it's got to be similar to that. Whatever €100 is a Canadian, 200 Canadian, it's probably similar to going via rail.
You know what? I've never done that. I can't answer that question.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you don't have that kind of information at your fingertips if you research this this topic. So you go from Venice to Munich.
Munich. And as we get there, it's sort of dusk. And we get out of the train station and we go to our hotel. By now, by then, it's pretty much dark. We're starving. It's around 9 o'clock. And it was weird because we're walking through the streets of Munich and we keep going to these restaurants and they're all closed. Again, it's one of those cities where it shuts down pretty early. And it was midweek for us, but it was just surprising. So we saw this one restaurant and then we walk up to it and the guy's just shutting the door. And I said, "Hey, buddy, are you open?" And he could speak English. And he said, no, I'm just closing. And we said, "Wow, all the restaurants close early here." And he said, "You've never been to Munich before." And we explained what we were doing. He said, "You know what? Come on in. I'll feed you.
Come on."
That's what he did. That's what he did.
What did he say? Yep. I mean, well, that's amazing. But what was his explanation for why did he have this Munich? They have to shut down early or?
No, it's just a vibrant daytime city. And in the evening, everybody goes home and, you know, the clientele dips and that's just the way it is.
So what kind of food was it? Was it German food?
Pork knuckles.
Ah.
It's about all he had left, and he said he could give us, and he brought these big pork knuckles. And, oh, being hungry, it was so good. And then I think we had some, like, French fries on the side. But that was my introduction to Munich, Germany, being starving and having this guy invite us in and giving us these pork knuckles.
What's a pork knuckle, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it's sort of like,
did
you,
if you did mind me asking, go and just tell me.
No, I don't mind. Well, you know what a pork shank is?
Kind of, yeah.
It's sort of like that, but with less meat.
You gotta
work a little more on the knuckle, so to speak.
And how big is it? Is it the size of like a baby's head, or is it?
Yeah, they're huge.
Okay.
They're huge. Yeah, absolutely huge. So that, again, that was our introduction to Munich, and it was great. And then we went, and we went back and went to bed. That's what we did.
Did you already have a hotel, or did you just try and find a hotel when you got there?
Oh, no, I think we had booked ahead with a hotel. And then I got up in the morning, and, you know, I can't even begin to tell you about the history of Munich. I mean, seriously, if you're going to go to Munich, you have to do your own research, you know, steeped in history.
Sure.
Especially World War II, where it was the target of the Allies for propaganda reasons, because that was the birthplace of the Nazis. Nazis.
Yeah. How do you go to Germany and avoid the Nazis? I mean, they're everywhere.
Well, even in Munich, you know, there's all sorts of tours. And even out of Munich, there's one for like for concentration camps and stuff like that. I really wasn't into that. We weren't there for a long time, but as you can imagine, steeped in that kind of history. As a matter of fact, a lot of the damage caused from the World War II, they've left. So you're walking around the city, and if you're doing a tour or whatever, they can point up and see, look at the side of that building.
Mm-hmm.
That's from, like, bombs or, you know, debris from flying all over the place.
So Spencer, my youngest, was in Europe the summer before this one, so 2022. Spent a couple months and spent about 3 weeks all staying in Germany, all over Berlin, Munich. And at one point, Spencer texts me And she says, I'm in the lineup at maybe the Auschwitz Museum. And I said, and I text back right away, they're not making you pay, are they?
Well, Jewish people should get free admission.
Well, that, that would be me.
I'd the be least like, they could do.
That's what I said. I said, because if I'm in that lineup, I'm going, sorry, I'm not paying. That's why I said to her, I text back, haven't we paid enough? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Man. You know me. I like to make a joke.
And of course, you know, Munich is the heartland of Bavaria. And you know what, what Bavaria is known for, you know what it's known for.
Bavarians?
Beer.
Beer.
Well, that's where, you know, that's the whole Oktoberfest thing, right, is Munich.
Did you drink some nice beer?
Funny you should ask, Howard. Mm-hmm. So, we get out, this is the very first day, and I'm with, we're with our friends Darren and Lori. Lori Love, who's been on the show, Darren, who we often reference. And the girls want to do some shopping. Of course, we're not interested. So Darren and I are just walking around. And then all of a sudden we hear, Bavarian music, that whatever you want to say. So we just follow it. We just follow the music till it gets louder and louder and louder. And we turn this corner. We look, all these tents are set up. There was this kick-ass huge Munich beer festival the day that we get there.
Not Oktoberfest. It was just a random.
No, this was summer.
Wow.
I don't know. They were celebrating like 150 years of some brewery or whatever it was. I can't remember. But so we walk down and you buy a stein for like 3 or 4 euros. And then you can just walk around all these different places and they'll fill it up.
Wow.
Like it was like a dream come true. Like it was unbelievable because, again, this wasn't a common thing. This was a huge event that we just happened upon. And the funny part of that story, him and I, we get a half cut. We met these two old, German ladies, and we were sitting at a picnic table with them, and we got along with them quite well. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Delise and Lori, they started looking for us, and we told them where we would be, and they found us. Talking to these two old ladies, and they were drunk and we were drunk, and it was quite the scene. Again,
What do you mean? You were when they came upon you and these two old ladies, with the four of you making out, what were you doing?
No, but I mean, there was a lot of joking that way.
Oh, of course,
if they hadn't have showed up, what would that have led to? But it was a lot of fun. And just another thing where it's like, I really feel part of the environment now.
Yeah.
Really cool. Really cool. And as far as other stuff, there's a place there in Munich called the English Garden. It's this huge park, and it's bigger than
Central Park or something?
It's bigger than Central Park.
Wow.
And just absolutely fantastic. And we were tired from the night before, so we go into this park, and Delise still talks about it. We laid under this tree looking out at this pond with these swans on it. We actually fell asleep for an hour or so. And just waking up and just that being part of our holiday and where we were and feeling refreshed at that moment. And it was, one of those insignificant things from a holiday.
But it sounds delightful.
Forget. Yeah, yeah.
It sounds delightful. And so we highly recommend the train ride from Venice, Italy to Munich, Germany. And you won't regret it. Go,
no,
and
you
we
won't.
Say go during the day because you'll
go
see
during
more.
The day.
Because you'll see
and
more.
And don't forget, when you're in Munich, make sure you see the Glockenspiel, okay? The Glockenspiel. And you know what that is, Howard?
What is that?
It's a big cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
And it's one of these things, everybody says, have you seen the Glockenspiel? And everybody rushes to this square. And you have to sit there for a while and wait for the half hour, the hour, for the Glockenspiel, for this big cuckoo clock to do its thing. And like so many of those things, it's disappointing. You sit there and you wait. And then it happens and you go,
that's great.
I'd like to have that hour back. But again, it's one of those things you do.
Sure, it's one of those things you do. And if you are in one of those lineups to see one of those places, tell them you're Jewish. Something people didn't do back in the 1930s. Ah, there you go. Another episode, season 2, episode 1 of Aging with Energy, the Old Guys Travel Show. Always a delight to be brought to you by the Chambers Plan. and the retirement Sherpa.
Could you tell where my head was at when you found me? Me and you went to hell and back just to find peace. Man, I thought I had everything, I was lonely.